This program is sponsored by Wicked, Chronic, and Natick, Massachusetts. Located at 185 Worcester Street, right on Route 9, they can be reached at 508-545-8105 or at wickedchronicvendorcommerce.com. Wicked Chronic is a boutique-style retail shop that focuses on selling counterculture products such as Wiccan, cannabis cultures coming together in a unique setting. You need something for that special spell? Go on down to Wicked Chronic in Natick, Massachusetts, and speak to Beverly. Tell them Dr. Chris sent you. Check them out today.
Welcome to the Dead TV Podcast, a podcast dedicated to all the canceled television shows of the horror, science fiction, and fantasy genres. I'm your hostess, Mr. Seneca. And with me, as always, is Dr. Chris.
Yes, I am Dr. Chris.
And we continue our coverage of the Addams Family.
Addams Family episodes 12 and 13.
12 and 13. But before we get into the episodes, I want to talk to you a little bit about our focus topic of Lurch. He has had a major episode that we're reviewing today. So can you imagine, Dr. Chris, a television show focused around Lurch, the butler Lurch, and that character is played by John Astin?
Wait, say that one more time?
Okay. John Astin was originally approached to play Lurch, but Lurch was actually supposed to get his own television series. That was what the original concept of the Addams Family was going to be.
By CBS. So,
I'm sorry, what?
By CBS.
Yeah, the Filmways was going to do that. So,
so it was going to be like Mr. Belvedere?
You know, that's what I think it's supposed to be, yeah. So Lurch the Butler, the whole show was going to be focused around him, and John Astin was going to play that role, but luckily it didn't work out. I couldn't even imagine a show where we have John Astin as Lurch, and then someone plays Rapelli, which would be Gomez, you know, because if John Astin didn't pick Gomez, Rapelli would have been his name. And that just seems like too weird of a concept at the time, and Lurch is really just more of a mute most of the time, so I don't see how that would be really entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, at this time in 1964, which we're still in, a show like that where a guy just goes around grumbling all the time and has very few dialogue words wouldn't work out. I mean, in 2009, 2010, when WALL-E came out, people were still even, like, going, what the hell is this 45 minutes of a robot going boop, 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 boop.
Boop, 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 yeah.
And it wasn't until, like, an hour and a half into the movie or an hour into the movie we finally got human dialogue talking and not from a old 1950s black and white movie that WALL-E watches all the time.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like a butler adventure sitcom, but what type of adventures a butler can get into? So I definitely think that Mr. Belvedere would be the closest approximation. But the character Lurch originally had a beard. The first appearance of Lurch is actually as Morticia's manservant from August 6, 1938, a cartoon from The New Yorker. He had a full head of hair and had almost like a Slavic look about him, like a caveman-ish type of style, with a bow tie and a suit. Very, hulking type of person, but he definitely had a full head of hair, broad shoulders, a full beard. And the next appearance, Charles Addams just replaced the character's head and sloped the shoulders a bit more, and voila, that's the new Lurch that we all know and love. It's got the flat top head, the sparse hair, and one kind of cloudy or milky eye. In the description that Charles Addams gave Filmways, he said, "This towering mute has been shambling around the house forever. He is not a very good butler, but a faithful one. He is often sent on local errands to pick up the awful herbs from the garden. for instance, but will often forget the most important ingredient of all, say, Eye of Newt. He is shamefaced about his oversight and the object of good-natured ridicule from the family. The children are his favorites and he guards them against good influences at all times.
Okay, one quick pause that this will be edited. Why are we doing this now and not for the next episode, which is Lurch's the Lurch Dance episode?
This towering mute has been shambling around the house forever. He is not a very good butler, but a faithful one. He is often sent on local errands to pick up the awful herbs from the garden. For instance, but will often forget the most important ingredient of all, say, Eye of Newt. He is ashamed-faced about his oversight and the object of good-natured ridicule from the family. The children are his favorites, and he guards them against good influences at all times. One eye is opaque. The scanty hair is damply clinging to his narrow, flat head. He will gladly undertake to dump the boiling oil on the carol singers. But generally, the family regards him as something of a joke. So that was the blurb that he gave Filmways. But the character itself resembles a lot of, very closely to Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And the comparison gets down even further because Boris Karloff was actually invited to write the... what am I saying here? Can you edit this out?
Mm-hmm.
I totally lost my place here.
Just something about Boris Karloff.
Because of the character's resemblance to Mary Shelley's Frankenstein's monster, he's often compared to Herman Munster. But the character in the comics was little more than just a creepy and intimidating servant. In the TV show, he gets a few more dimensions, his groaning voice, the way he plays harpsichord, and the fact that he's a talented musician. Boris Karloff, Frankenstein in the movies, plays an alcoholic, mute, lumbering family butler named Morgan in Universal Studios' film The Old Dark House from 1932.
Yes, he does, which has still not ever had a DVD or Blu-ray release, if you can believe that.
So that is definitely an oversight. Charles Adams Publishers did everything to keep the similarities in the Frankensteinian connections. The other actors that tried out for the role were more of a Dark Shadows style of creepiness, like a dead Mr. Belvedere, and Lurch is actually just named because of the way he walks. No other reason than that. So, shall we begin with the episode?
Yeah, also, quick thing, Boris Karloff played the monster of Frankenstein. He did not play Frankenstein.
That's true.
That is a classic little thing that people always... mistakenly say in the movie The Monster Squad, the kids test their newest members, saying, "Is Frankenstein the monster or the man who created the monster, the scientist that created the monster, whatever they say, the doctor?" And then the kid answers correctly that it's the doctor, the scientist, the guy who created the creature.
Yes. Frankenstein's monster was more the victim.
Right, and even in the context of the movie, again, that was something that a lot of people were like, "Oh, look at that! They did pay attention," because what Dracula calls it, the Frankenstein monster. He does not call the monster Frankenstein. In like Looney Tune cartoons and other things, they do call the monster Frankenstein.
Well, it's a little bit sad, like the Ted Kaczynski playing this role. John Astin said once that Ted, like Lurch, was never completely happy with his lot. Ted expressed this. His height kept him from playing the roles he wanted, sort of the giant who wanted to play Hamlet. Within the character of Lurch, I think he invoked all of that feeling. He was masterful in the character and conveyed a beautiful world weariness and a deep sense of duty towards, like, a deep sense of responsibility, which Ted also had. So, on to the episode.
Yes, Morticia the Matchmaker.
Morticia the Matchmaker. Originally aired December 4th, 1964. Cousin Melancholia visits. Abandoned by her fiancé, she needs a man. Meanwhile, the firm of Ferguson, Riche, and Fisher wants their Mr. Harvey to broker a deal with the Adamses, since he's the only one among them who's dealt with them before, a fact which leaves Mr. Harvey repulsed at the thought and determined to resist further contact. When the Adamses learn he's a bachelor, they're not only eager to meet him, but ready to set the wedding bells pealing and heartily welcome him into the family before he can even say yes or anything else.
Now, this is an extended member of the Addams family. This is Morticia's cousin, which means that it would also probably be Uncle Fester's niece, who doesn't appear in the episode.
Yes, this is a Festerless and a kidsless episode.
Yeah, Grandmama does.
Mm-hmm. Grandmama's there. I think her whole contribution to the episode is just basically sprinkling people with love powder.
This was like, again, we talked about this before, this was a thing. You had to have a man in your life. You had to be married.
Yeah, times have definitely changed. This yeah. did not hold up.
Now
this,
you
this
need,
episode...
Now a woman needs another woman, or doesn't need a man. I read plenty of tweets online from the LGBT community about how, like, you know, the lesbian women are... That was a redundant thing to say. How yeah. lesbians have been like, what the F? I didn't need a man then, and I certainly don't need a man now that I know what I am.
Mm-hmm.
And neither does my mom, who has been happily divorced for 10 years and happy with her domestic partner. You know, things like that. It's like every one of these shows, you know, they were still off of that whole, like, gotta get married, gotta repopulate the planet Earth or whatever, and the baby boomer type of mentality, even though we are so far away from the baby boomers by late 1964.
Yeah, there is a lot that goes on in this episode, which is just basically steamrolling anyone to be in partnered with Cousin Melancholia.
Yeah, who I don't actually find all that attractive, but that's a whole other thing.
No. I mean, I think that's the kind of the point, is that she's got these, like, Princess Leia buns and this very, I don't know how to describe her face. It is melancholy. Like, she looks worried every scene.
Did you know how old she lived till?
Let's see.
96 years.
Wow, 96, yeah.
Yeah.
She died on October 27th, 2016.
But her last credit was in 1988, which is kind of weird. Like, she had a huge string where she didn't do anything. There's nothing else listed on her IMDb, so I don't know what else she did. The only thing I could take away from anything she did was she was on Punky Brewster, and she was on Gem.
Gem,
yes. Gem, truly outrageous. The Amazing Chan and the Chan Clan, which is not a show I think they could probably do today, not least in America.
She was also on Mr. Ed and the Beverly Hillbillies,
yeah,
My Favorite Martian.
Which The Amazing Chan and the Chan Clan was an animated Asian cartoon series that was most, like, half of it was voiced by white people. But I could see them doing the Amazing Chan and the Chan Clan if they actually cast an entire Asian cast. And after successes like, you know, Crazy Rich Asians, we could probably do that.
Well, I mean, I would like to see more, you know, diverse people within vocal acting anyway, simply because, like, in 1972, when she did that, most people in that industry were white.
Correct.
They just were not really allowing of very many people of color to have main roles.
And the man that she wants to marry was in The Manchurian Candidate.
Ooh. Yeah, he just shows up right at the very end, almost to prove that there's actually someone that does really like Melancholia.
And then he will return for another episode later on. The Addams Family meets a beatnik.
Meets a beatnik.
Yes. Yeah. And he was also on the Munsters and also was on Mr. Ed with this woman.
Mm-hmm.
I would be hilarious if they ever remade Mr. Ed today. You know, somebody wants to do it.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
guarantee that they... I don't know. I mean, would...
Was Mr. Ed ever remade at any time?
I don't think so. But, I mean, think about, like, think about if Mr. Ed was given, like, Ryan Reynolds' voice, or somebody who's, like, a really funny comedian, like Steve Carell, you know?
Huh.
I think done correctly, it would be hilarious, you know?
Talking animals are always hilarious.
In one form or another. The reason why I say Ryan Reynolds is because he's going to play Pikachu in Detective Pikachu coming up soon. And he also did that serial killer movie where he talks to his animals and his animals tell him to kill people.
Kill people, yeah.
Good stuff. So on to the matchmaker.
So this is an episode where we get the Me Too scenario, because Mr. Harvey does not want anything to do with Melancholia, and she flat out assaults him. kisses him, dips him. Like, yeah. She goes after him, and he does not want anything to do with it. And, you know, he's very traumatized by the entire experience. So much so that at the very end of the episode, it's said that he has joined the Foreign Legion.
Yeah, so what do we know about the Foreign Legion? Let's talk about what the Foreign Legion is.
Okay, do you have that information?
No. I thought you would have written it down as the...
Stop quizzing me on something unless you prepare me, dude.
I thought maybe you would like be like, oh, the Foreign Legion, eh?
I do a lot of research, but you gotta narrow it down sometimes.
Okay, so the Foreign Legion is the French military, established in 1831. Legionnaires are highly trained infantry soldiers, and the Legion is unique in that it was continued to be an open to foreign recruits willing to serve the French armed forces. So you don't have to be of a French citizenship in order to join the French Foreign Legion. Now, do you have to be an American citizen to join the United States Army?
No, you don't.
Okay.
There are immigrant soldiers that basically through the process of agreements or contracts, they're able to get their citizenship by serving on the military.
And, of course, we find out later on he actually joined the American Legion. Which, okay, you can't join the American Legion unless you're a United States military man.
Well, maybe Fred is a military man.
Yeah, it doesn't really ever mention that, does it? He says he joined the American Legion.
Yeah, no, it's not really said anything. The amount of information that we get on her fiancé, Fred, is very small.
Yeah, it's a United States War Veterans Organization headquarters. You have to be a war veteran to join the American Legion.
Well, maybe he did serve at one point.
Maybe. But it is very funny that, you know, she lost two husbands to two different things. How did she lose the other one?
Let's see.
Went to South America.
Yes. He went to South America, where Gomez commented that the weather is so nice there.
Right.
The contract that Mr. Harvey is trying to get Gomez to sign, I actually had a bit of a moment here because the reason that Gomez won't sign it is because the property contains subterranean bat caves in Nairobi. And he comments, quote, I do owe something to the bats. And, you know, then Morticia actually convinces him to sign the contract simply because it's a good thing to do for him. Not really because of anything else. Just, you know, to make nice.
Our suitor,
Mr. Harvey?
Mr. Harvey shows up and immediately faints upon seeing the Morticia and her cousin coming downstairs basically dressed identical, and he knows who Morticia is. And then when Gomez says, that's your date, he's like, oh.
Yeah, because he was not expecting to be set up on a date.
Yes, and then he's got the best line. Am I dead? Of course not, silly. Oh, too bad.
That's a good line.
They have the but just before that happens, by the way, they Lurch pours him and Gomez the liquid. And Gomez drinks it, but Harvey is like, am I gonna die drinking this?
Yeah, the bubbling concoction of tea or whatever.
Yeah.
And Gomez gives Pugsley a blowgun, an African blowgun. Like, the kid doesn't have enough weapons. Blowguns are fun, I have to admit. They are.
Oh, really? You used one before on a victim?
Yes, you paint a target on someone's butt, and then you blow the darts, and yeah.
I don't want to know what you're hunting in Pennsylvania.
I'm hunting butts, that's what
apparently
I'm hunting.
Apparently so, yeah. Less the said, the better.
Too late.
This guy does not want to marry this woman, but they're clearly forcing him to do it. And then we meet the original husband, fiancé, Ralph, who, again, was the one who joined the French Foreign Legion, but in fact it was the American Legion.
And he had taken her ring, and that was one of the things that she thought was the reason they were broken up, because, you know, he took back the ring. But he took it back simply because he wanted to replace it because it was turning her finger green. So it was a very shoddy, you know, piece of jewelry. And instead of that, he gives her a brass ring, which is just as cheap and shoddy, but...
Now, what was his name? Fred or Ralph?
Fred.
Fred. Oh, Fred. Okay. Where did I get Ralph from? I don't understand. All right, so that the actor who plays Fred is played by Hal Baylor, who died in 1998 and was on various things. Gunsmoke seems to be his biggest thing. Bonanza. Nothing of super significant that stands out to me except the Batman TV series where he played Mercury. I don't know who that is. It's Penguin episode, so I'm assuming he's a Penguin henchman.
Mr. Harvey, though, has some credits. It was played by Lee Goodman, and his acting resume ends at 1970. So the Addams Family role is one of his last. But he died in 1988, so I think he just got out of acting, perhaps. But he was also in Mr. Ed, The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis, Damn Yankees. His last role was an NBC experiment in television. And he played a role called Moby Dick, I guess. Not sure. Yeah, he's got a few bits of acting. Not as large of a resume as some of our other actors. But he was very hilarious in this one.
At the very end, after all that's said and done... Oh, why is, by the way, what do they want to buy from the Addams Family?
They want to buy a piece of, they want to have Gomez Addams turn over control of this Nairobian piece of property because it has oil on it.
Man,
oil was discovered.
The Addams just are loaded with, like, properties and oil and things that are, I mean, would make even, like, some of the realistic richest people in the world, you know, look poor.
Yes, yeah, because the stock portfolio that he says, you know, is not a winning stock portfolio, but his properties seem to be making a lot of money for him. I think we've seen, what now, two pieces of property that he's basically sold at a profit?
Yeah, oh, I mean, also if you count the one that we were aware of before, which was Central Park.
Oh, yes, yes. From the cartoons and comics.
Right.
They've got their hands in everything.
And then they have the line at the very end that says, now, blood is thicker than water. Too
thank
bad.
Heaven.
What? Wait, say that again?
Blood is thicker than water. Thank heaven.
Oh, thank heaven. I thought she said too bad. Okay, yes, thank heaven. But she says it in that very Morticia way, which is perfect.
Blood is thicker than water. Thank heaven. Kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. There'll be all sorts of weird blood and water events coming up in Salem, Massachusetts, which we'll talk a little bit more about when we get closer. Something very
nice
excellent
surprise
that we will both be at. The Vampire
yes.
Ball. We'll go into more detail coming up. We have an episode every single week, so we'll go into more detail as we get closer to it. Maybe we'll have an Addams Family episode where there's a Addams Family dance that we can talk about with regards to the Vampire Ball. But go to Vampire Ball, Google Vampire Ball in Salem, Massachusetts for more details, or stay tuned to this podcast as we will have more information leading up to it. That is pretty much it for this episode. We are going to take a quick break and then move on to Lurch Learns to Dance on the Dead TV Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Scream Scene,
the horror movie podcast where we watch every horror movie
ever made
in chronological order,
then rank them from best to worst.
Your dedicated hosts, Sarah
and Ben,
bring you a new episode each week,
covering the history of film through a horror lens,
from silent to sound and black and white to color, and the social and cultural context surrounding them.
Scream Scene is your well-researched, in-depth, and respectful dive into the horror movies of old.
Join us, creatures of the night, by subscribing to Scream Scene on iTunes.
And visit our website, screamscenepodcast.tumblr.com.
You'll be dying to subscribe.
That's pretty bad.
It'll be a hell of a good time.
Better?
It'll lift your spirits.
Okay.
All And we're back with the Dead TV Podcast with Lurch Learns to Dance.
Lurch Learns to Dance originally aired December 11th, 1964. Lurch receives his annual invitation to the butler's ball, which he ignores as usual because he can't dance. Morticia is determined he accept this year's invitation to avoid the reclusive direction in which he's headed. To that end, a dance teacher is hired, but when that doesn't work, due to frequent fainting spells, the whole family rallies to Lurch's cause, to the endangerment of innocent furniture and healthy vertebrae everywhere.
Now, right off the bat, I need to point out an interesting little continuity thing. If Lurch, the actor who plays Lurch, Ted Cassidy, is also the Thing, who plays the Thing when he hands Lurch the mail?
Thing is usually played by a producer.
I thought he was played by Ted Cassidy.
Well, Ted Cassidy usually, but when they're both on screen, there's a producer that usually takes up the mantle. Trying to find that note. But, yeah, it's one of the producers, and in that scene where you can see both of them at the same time, you can see a little bit of the body of whoever is performing the Thing in that scene, just right in the back of that end table, if you look really closely. And Thing is actually a left in the beginning of the episode. But it varies. It varies from time to time.
Gotcha. This is also the most detail we get out of a Lurch in any type of capacity, from like talking to any kind of characteristic whatsoever.
Yes. Yeah, he does a lot of dialogue in this episode. There's a lot of things that he does in this episode. Like, he dances the ballet with Wednesday. He learns a bit of tango from Gomez. Morticia tries to teach him the twist. And the dances that he was actually interested in, the Watusi, the Hully Gully, and the Pick and Shovel, those were popular dances at the time. And I think I still remember how to Watusi.
The woman who shows up to teach Lurch how to dance is a very attractive woman, by the way. This is her last credit, Penny Parker. She does nothing after this and supposedly is still alive today, if her IMDb has not been updated. But born December 23rd, 1941, this is it. She pretty much stopped acting after this episode of The Addams Family, after two television series she was in for 14 and 26 episodes. So either nobody's ever updated her work, or she quit acting and went on to do something else.
Wow. That's surprising that this is her last role.
And she's still alive today.
Huh.
So I'm wondering if there's, like, some missing information, or she really did quit acting. I mean, look how young she is in this episode. She's been working since 1959 to 1964, so that's about 5 years. So she could have started a family and become a housewife afterwards.
Yeah, who knows? You know, there's probably a good story behind that.
Yeah, I mean, and she is incredibly attractive. So, I kind of, hope that somebody would have, scooped her up.
Swept her off her feet.
Swept her off her feet. Out of all the guests that have appeared on the Addams Family so far, I think she has been, up to episode 13, by the way, we're still early in the show, she is the most attractive guest star we've had on the show.
Yeah, she has got that nice sweetness about her.
Yes.
When she's arguing with the Fred Walters dance studio representative to, like, get her to, give her another chance. And he gives her the Addams account, because apparently everyone knows who the Addams family is, and they actively avoid it.
Well, yeah, they're probably, like, that dark house, in the town. The small little town, it's definitely not a city, that everyone is just like, oh, those people. I mean, in the movies, the Addams Family house, in the color that they put that movie in, is so lavishly dark, foreboding. It's 100% hilarious. We don't get to see a lot of the neighbors like in the Addams Family movies, but in this, we assume that every other house in this neighborhood looks like a house that would be built in the 1950s or 60s.
Yeah, and this is an old Victorian place, so it usually doesn't fit in with the 1960s style architecture. So, in this episode, Lurch finally does agree to go to the butler's dance, butler's ball, and Morticia slyly, you know, attends the ball so that he has someone to dance with, and he ends up, you know, winning a huge trophy about it. And the way that he just walks into the Adams Mansion with his head held high, the trophy in hand, and the smug look on his face, like, yeah, 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 I did it, yeah. And it's like, ah, I love that. The dance was amazing, and he had fun. Morticia was having fun with him. And, you know, aside from a few moments where backs were kind of tweaked and Lurch had to get his back corrected on the rack and Gomez had to get his back corrected on the rack, I believe this was a really fun episode.
Wednesday looks adorable in her little black tutu. It reminds me, like, she's about to do Swan Lake, Black Swan. Swan Lake? Black Swan? What am I thinking of?
Well, it's Swan Lake is a ballet, okay. And Black Swan is a movie.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. Okay. most tutu ballet kind of outfits were not black. And they're usually still kind of very rarely black for little girls. They're
the
usually like pink.
For the student, pink.
Yeah, pink or white or whatever. When you're an adult, maybe that's different. So it was. I guarantee in 1964, it was definitely jarring to see a black tutu on a little girl, not a full-grown woman.
Oh, they're so cute. So adorable.
Do we have a dance instructor for the episode? Do we have anybody who actually was dance choreographing for this episode?
Not stated as such.
Yeah, nothing I have. Oh, unless you have, unless it's Jack Baker, who's listed as choreographer. Possibly dance choreographer? I want to assume so, because his credits list a lot of Elvis Presley, the Bob Hope Show. I'm just going to assume that he is a dance choreographer. It doesn't say dance choreographer, it just says choreographer, so I'm going to assume that means dance. But having several listings of talk shows, the I Love Lucy show, the Lucy show, and Elvis Presley, that probably makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what dances were inspired by, or what dances inspired the choreographed dance that they do, because those moves aren't expressly tango moves. They're tango-esque, but not actually tango moves at all. It's just more like turns and dips and you walk one way and then you turn and you walk the other way. Tango is much more involved and involves a crossover of the feet for the woman's role, and it's very complicated. My mother's been studying it, and she's very good at it, but it's taken years to perfect.
Yeah, and there's also a famous dance, pause real quick, I'm going to pull something up really quickly, from the Addams Family that many people might know of. It's this one right here.
Everyone, your attention, please. Tonight we dance for our treasured guest of honor, Fester Adams.
Mamushka! Taught to us by our Cossack cousins, the mamushka has been an Adams family tradition since God knows when. We danced the mamushka while Nido fiddled. We danced the mamushka at Waterloo. We danced the mamushka for Jack the Ripper. And now, Fester Adams, this mamushka is for you.
The Mamushka from the Addams Family movie. I've been waiting to play this to tie into a dance-themed episode because I absolutely love this scene in that movie.
I love it.
Yes, I've been waiting for 13 weeks to be able to play that. I didn't watch ahead like you did, but I read a lot of the episode synopsises for the episodes, and just to see what I could tie into certain things to get prepared or whatever. And I absolutely love the scene of the mamushka. I said the babushka, but I meant the mamushka from the Addams Family movie between Raul Julia, the late great Raul Julia,
I think.
Yes, and Christopher Lloyd.
Yes, I love their dance of the mamushka. Like, oh my god, it's so awesome.
Does that ever happen on the TV series? Did they take that from the TV series, or was that created for the movie?
That was strictly for the movie.
Okay, okay, excellent, excellent. So yes, I had to play that. there's more dances that happen on the Addams Family, obviously. Every 5 minutes they're busting a move on the Addams Family. Morticia's like moving them hips and stuff like that.
Yeah, when we get into a later episode, Lurch is going to be like a rock star, and you know, so he has actually a song and a dance that was created in 1965 called The Lurch.
Mr. Seneca, can you dance?
I can dance very well. Thank you very much.
Oh, excellent. I will be honored to take this dance in May.
When we go to the Vampire Ball, yeah.
Yes, there will be dancing there. There will be dancing there, and I will be asking my lovely and professional co-host date for a dance.
Yes, I know how to waltz. I know tango a little bit. I know how to swing. Charleston, Watusi.
Okay, I'm having an anxiety attack. You know way more about dancing than I do. I'm going to have to get really prepared and watch everything I know from dancing by Christopher Walken.
My mother is a huge, huge folk dancer, and so I learned all kinds of things. I know how to polka, and I've gone to all kinds of contra dances and whatnot. It's fun if you got some time, but usually nowadays those dances are just inhabited by people above age 60.
You mean, I'm sorry, you're talking about contra dance, which is right, left, down, up, A, B, select, then start? No?
Not Contra the video game.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right, okay. And I got a feeling, I don't think there's going to be a lot of polkas at a gothic vampire ball in Salem, Massachusetts.
I just don't think
they're going to be breaking out that accordion by, you know, like Weird Al or something.
you know, a polka step is just hop, step, change, hop, step, change, hop, step, change. Super easy.
Yeah. I'm always reminded of polka either by A, Weird Al Yankovic, because he's a big polka fan, or the scene from Good Morning Vietnam where that dipshit lieutenant is trying to push the polka music on the troops, and the one star general is like, no.
Yeah.
Sorry, General outranks the Colonel. Put on the rock and roll.
Rock and roll, yeah.
I'm going to have to brush up on my dance skills.
Well, I look forward to it, Dr. Chris.
Oh, well, you are a mistress, so you will lead. How about that?
No, I will allow you to lead, but I will forceful if you can't lead properly.
I don't know how to dance very well, and I don't mean like dancing. I'm talking like the way you're describing it, I'm going to look like a fucking idiot.
Well, you know, we can just do a whole bunch of sway back and forth, side to side, just shuffle.
Like prom dating? Ugh.
Yeah, if you don't know the steps, you know, that's the one step everyone knows.
All right, I will, what is this? This is April 7th. I have a month to get prepared.
Just focus on the waltz. That's the most Addams Family, you know, dance there is.
The waltz. Let me look this up. This is really getting edited out.
It's like a box step.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like Dracula and Mina do on this TV series we just finished.
Yes, the waltz is one of the most popular dances that are still done today.
Oh, okay. Well, then I will do my best to figure that out in time to not embarrass the shit out of you. Then come back on Sunday to do... Oh, by the way, are you going to be able to do the recording on Sunday?
I should be able to.
Yeah, I can't... Okay, yeah, we'll have to do it like the way we're doing it right now, because otherwise it's just that's just going to be so much back and forth between Framingham, Worcester, Boston, Salem. You know, I mean, I'd love for you to come to the studio, but it's just you're not going to be staying in Worcester. So, and it's just going all the way back to Boston, driving all the way back here, then driving you all the way back out to Boston.
Yeah, it's a big hassle, and I need to be at my hotel sometime between 1 o'clock and 5 p.m.
On Sunday.
On Sunday.
Yeah. Okay. Don't worry. I'll kick you out in time. All right. So just pause real quick so I know where to edit all this out. And that's pretty much it for these two episodes of the Addams Family. Very lighthearted, fun episodes. Very easy to get through. I got through them very fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Very entertaining episodes. A lot of fainting in both these episodes. A lot of fainting.
Of course. Every time you're at the Addams Family.
And Lurch dressed up as a tiny boy with a lollipop and balloons as his costume for the ball was highly entertaining. It looks so out of place.
In the next episode, we're going to have a major history lesson from Mr. Zeneca on Picasso.
Sam Picasso.
Sam Picasso, not Pablo Picasso.
Sam Picasso.
But we'll have a generalization about art itself and that kind of thing. Maybe we'll have an artist guest on the show, too. We haven't had a guest in a while. Not for lack of trying, just everyone connected to the Addams Family is kind of dead, unfortunately. Did you happen to listen to the commentary for the first episode of this podcast?
I did.
Okay. Do you have any factoids from the commentary for anybody who's not able to get access to the commentary and they may be listening to it on Hulu or Amazon Prime?
Since the commentary was done by Lisa Loring, Felix Sia, and Ken Weatherwax, I have a quote from Lisa Loring about the Halloween special. And I'm trying to look in my notes as to where that is. But she says, and I'm paraphrasing right here because I need to pull up I've got a lot of notes. But she says something to the extent of, whoever wrote that Halloween special should be shot.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And they did talk about, you know, them being children on the set as well, and, them running around the garden and whatnot, and that all the plants were fake. There's a lot of good information on there, but I might dip into that information as I parse it out as we go through the Addams Family.
Yes, because we'll be on this for, a long, 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 long,
yes,
long time.
Yes, I have my notes parsed out in chunks, you know, so every podcast will have some new and different.
I give the writers of the Addams Family show a lot of credit for being able to come up with the various different plot lines and problems that the Addams Family encounter or things that they have to deal with. Nothing feels overly repeated. I mean, we're only 13 episodes in, but I give the writers of the show a lot of credit for coming up with all the different ways of mischief, mayhem, and silliness that we encounter on the Addams Family. And again, it's the Addams Family reacting to a situation and the people who are not used to their kookiness. And they kept that going for 2 years. I give them hats off, accolades. I don't know what awards the Addams Family has won the television series, but we will get to that maybe in another episode. We can go over any of the awards the Addams Family have won.
Yeah, I have that a little bit later when we're talking past the stars of the show, past the main characters, past the house, getting into more of the background, Charles Addams bibliography and awards background about the show.
Did they ever win an Emmy? Just one question I want to know right now, because that's the big award for television.
I'd have to find that information.
Okay.
So, we'll get to that later.
Okay. That is pretty much it for this episode of the Dead TV Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to our continuing coverage of The Addams Family as we go till October when the movie comes out. Very excited as we get closer and closer. Now we are in April. I can't believe we're already in April for 2019. Thank you for joining me once again, Mistress Zeneca.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here.
Don't forget, you can find us on the Dead TV Podcast on Facebook. You can also find us on individual Twitters at ChrisDSAV and at ElegantlyKinky and thatradiohorror@gmail.com if you wish to send us an email. If you'd like to leave a comment on our our website, please do. We just launched, the Radio Horror Network just launched a new show, Goth Girl Horror, a hack/ podcast, and it first episode was highly well received by fans of the comic book series /, as well as its creator Tim Seeley, which made me cry.
Aww.
Thank you everybody for tuning in.